Good morning, everybody. My name is Robert Schuller, and this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it.
That's right, and I'm Donna Schuller. Good morning. Welcome to church. I was kind of hesitating because I thought you were going to go into prayer. You fool me sometimes.
Yeah, that happens.
We'll do that in a while, too. But anyway, welcome to our church service. It's our 8 a.m. online, on our website, through any means we can get this out, because we have some good news to share with you, and that is
always
that Jesus Christ lives in your heart, that he's changing lives, that you can live a better, more productive life, no matter what you're going through. So glad you joined us, and
We're going to be talking about living to 120, and but not just living to 120, but living to a healthy 120
years.
So not
living this way.
Yeah, not vertically, but horizontally.
No, not horizontally, but vertically.
And
this way.
Yeah. Stay on your feet.
And hopefully not that way. Hopefully not that way walking around either. You want to go this way. You like it? Not that way.
Well, we've got the hand signals
on. No, gestures. You got to have gestures.
The gestures. Sometimes. Okay.
This way.
Okay.
Got it. I think they got it.
Yours. Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the ability we have to learn more and more and more about you and your design for our lives as we study the words that you have given us in your Bible. Mm-hmm. And as we look at the history of what is taking place in humanity, and through it, we know that you win, that you will always rise to the top, and that no matter what happens, you're going to call your people. And so we thank you, God, for what you're doing and for all of the life that we have because of you. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, you're not going to say anything about appeal, are you?
I am, actually.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to talk about that right now?
No,
let's
just talk about
it right now, now that you brought it up.
Well, I didn't know.
So what is appeal?
Sounds appealing, but it's actually appalling.
There you go. That's
you have that on there.
That's appeal. And what do we know about appeal? Well, the first thing we know is that it has been banned in Europe. So here's a map of the world. There's all the countries and all the places in the world that is using appeal.
It's in the green.
And this is the green is people who are using it. The orange or the red are the countries that are not using it.
What about the white?
And I don't think it's being
It's not being promoted.
Because it isn't produced there, or they don't have the means to do it there. What is appeal? It is a new food processing system which prolongs the life of your food.
Yeah.
Which sounds great,
Shelf life.
Did you want to say something about it? You're the one who brought it up.
Oh, no. I just wanted people to be aware of it, because it's really one of these tricky things. It's all approved and healthy, and there's nothing wrong with it, and there's nothing right about it either. It's totally making our good food, even if you eat organic, fake because of the spray they put on it. And it's to increase shelf life. And it'll help. They say it's going to help with starvation. I don't know how. The grocery stores still throw away their food, and the restaurants throw away their food.
Well, they say it'll help because it'll have more time. They can sit on the shelves to sell their food.
At what price?
Well, here's the problem I have. The FDA has approved it. Europe has not. And there's a reason Europe hasn't approved it. I don't know what that is. It may be, and it probably is, they just don't have enough information. Our FDA, I have a hard time trusting them when they told us that DDT is healthy and there's nothing wrong with DDT. They also told us there's absolutely nothing wrong with glyphosate and that it's healthy to spray glyphosate on all of our foods.
Sweet and low. Go down
the list goes on and on to the point where I just don't trust our FDA anymore. I think they have been captured by big pharma, by chemical companies, by corporation. And when you go to vote for our next president of the United States, I had this conversation with an Uber driver yesterday. I said, when you go to vote for somebody in the United States, the number one thing that we need to secure in our country is freedom from our agency capture. And I'm using that term. So there are several people who are running for president in 2024 who understand what agency capture is. There's a few people I could mention who don't, but I'm only going to mention the people that I know do, and there may be others. So that would include Robert F. Kennedy Jr. That would include Donald Trump. That would include Vivek Ramaswamy. That would include also Ron DeSantis. Those individuals I know understand agency capture and know what to do to deal with it so that the FDA starts doing their job again. And that's to protect us from our food and to show us. And why do I have any suspicions about what's going on with our food? They spray this on all foods, all berries, every single food we have, they're spraying it on it. And the fact is, we don't know what is contained within it. Here's what we do know about the product, and that is that 0.66% of it is citric acid.
Yeah.
The other 99.34% is other ingredients. And we have no idea what that is. That's not available. That information is not available to the population, to the public. It wasn't presented to the FDA, and the FDA
doesn't care.
Approved it anyway. And so my question is, what are they spraying on our foods? We do know it sanitizes the food and at the same time puts some kind of a coating on it. And
you can't wash it off.
And you cannot wash it off. And I just want to eat food as close to the way that God made it as I possibly can. I wrote a book 20 years ago.
23 years ago.
Okay, yeah, the years add up. It came out in 2000. You so it was written. 99. It was written in the 90s. And it came out in 2000. And it's called Possibility Living. I just checked this morning. They still have copies of it available on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon, you can buy a copy for like $11 in shipping. I won't see a penny of that. All those sales have long gone. And so when somebody resells a book, I never see a penny. I'll never see a penny of this. But that doesn't matter. What matters is the information in that book. And in that book, I actually use the text that we're using today as one of the foundations, and that is that Moses lived to be 120 years. He was strong until the day he died, and his eyes were not dim. And as a result of that, our bodies are designed to live to be 120 years. But part of that process is eating food as close to the way that God made it as we possibly can. That's the bottom line. As far as having a healthy diet, eat food as close to the way that God made it as you possibly can, because God made it just for you so that you can live healthy. And that only happens when we don't continue to manipulate our foods. And unfortunately, even our organic foods are being sprayed with this all through the United States. I think there's only one grocery store.
Natural Grocers said absolutely no.
We don't have any
in California. So look up Natural Grocers. That's the name of the store, Natural Grocers. If you Google that, I notice all kinds of grocery stores come up, like Whole Foods and all that. But there's actually a grocery store called Natural Grocers. Like I said, we don't have them in California, but I think they're.
So we're going to be going to, we're going to be actually just going to local farm markets, because it comes straight from the farm. And
grow your own
if you have the ability.
If you have a yard and an ability, and look up some of our look up Food Forest Abundance, and Jim Gale, Jimgale. He is taking this issue by storm, and he is going in and helping people. He's got a huge organization now, he does it globally. But he takes people's land that is doing nothing, like maybe even a lot of grassy area. You know, grass is beautiful to look at, but if you could replace your grass with fruit trees and vegetables and things like this, things that are suitable to wherever you live in the nation or in the world, then you can start feeding your family, because that's really what it's about. It's getting back to not only, you know, you're getting back to the way God made food, you're getting back to nature, you're, you know, well, you're working with your hands.
Last week I was talking all about that.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. You were. So look at the message from last week. But should I go ahead and
Yeah, why don't you read the scripture and the prayer, and then I'll come back with our, message.
So we had a long introduction, but I just, when he started talking, I didn't know what he was going to be preaching about until I asked him this morning. And I was already thinking, gosh, we need to share with our online congregation about this product. And I think one of the things you can do is go and ask your grocer about it, and maybe just put up some, you know, bring attention to it and just tell people you don't, tell the grocer you don't like it. You're going to try to shop somewhere else unless they can guarantee that this isn't sprayed all over their outside of their vegetables and fruits. Now, of course, if you take all the skin off, like an avocado, you don't eat avocado skin, then you don't have to worry about it. But you'll see some of the avocados start lasting for several weeks and they look beautiful. But what are they doing inside of us? So, okay. So here in this scripture from Deuteronomy 34. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah, as far as the Mediterranean Sea. The Negev and the whole region from the Valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give to you and your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over onto it.'" And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen to Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord had sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for blessing us with abundance in our food sources, in our ability to have electricity and heat and air when we need it. Lord, thank you for teaching us to keep our eyes open, to be wise, to be questioning of things that just don't make sense, things that we know may harm us. And Lord, we know that you want to protect us. Lord, may we be open to learning new things. May we never be so arrogant that we think we know everything, that we can just be complacent and believe and trust what some organizations tell us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the ability to use our brains. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit lives in us and gives us the hope for the future. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, I had I'm really tired this morning, so it's really hard for me to read some of these words. I'm just really tired. You know, I worked all day yesterday.
That's because we were at that literacy project last night. And I have a real strong affinity to helping kids read. And one of the reasons is I did not learn to read until I was a sophomore in college. And that might sound unbelievable to some of you, but the way I was able to get into college and way to, I was able to graduate from high school was really by focusing on music. And I get, music was really easy for me. And so I ended up playing all the stringed instruments and piano and choir and music. And so I started majoring. I decided to major in music in college. And so I had all music there. And I also knew I was going to take that degree, my college degree, and go to seminary. So by the time I got to my sophomore year, I learned to read. Well, not really. Just it was without question a gift from God. It was my sophomore year. I was in Greek. I went to my professor, and he basically helped turn the lights on, and it was just an instant thing that happened, and I learned to read. Through studying Greek, exactly, which I was doing for my foreign language, because I needed Greek for seminary. So anyway, that's my history on literacy, and it obviously changed my life. I've been reading ever since. And
so the Literacy Project, the organization our friend Sue Grant started, really has a special place in Robert's heart. So we were there last night for their annual fundraising dinner. It was beautiful. It was outside on the lawn at a country club here really close to our house in Newport Beach. And I actually was responsible for getting the band up to stage when they were supposed to be there. They were a great band. But also I had the pleasure and the honor of reading an introduction for a friend of mine that's an artist, a prolific, great artist. She received an award for her work. So I was kind of working last night.
Absolutely.
And then I helped them set up yesterday afternoon. So that's my excuse. I'm very
just a little out of it. We have to collect an offering.
Yes, we do.
The way we collect an offering here, and the reason we have to collect an offering, is not because we need the money to survive. That's not why we have to collect an offering. We have to collect an offering because giving our offerings is a major part of our worship of God. And again, last week I talked about bringing your first fruits, or maybe that was 2 weeks ago.
I don't know.
It kind of blends together. And it was just recently I was talking about bringing our first fruits. And what God wants from us is he wants our faith, and he wants us to exemplify our faith. In fact, we'll be talking a little bit about that this morning with Moses not being allowed to go into the promised land because he didn't have the faith that God would help him. 20 years earlier, when they first came to the same place, and God said, here is your promised land, and Moses listened to the fear of the people instead of being a leader and leading them into the promised land. So now 20 years later, God says, you're not the one to take the people into the promised land. And so we'll be talking about that. So our donations, our tithes, our offerings, our giving to the church is an expression of our faith in God to care for our needs and to take care of us. And that's what it's all about. And so we want to encourage you to support this ministry with your tithes and offerings, because we continue to share the Word of God in a way that is intelligible and applicable to the situations we find in the United States and around the world currently right now. I'm going to be talking about that this morning, specifically about our freedom and how it is tied, how our freedom is not just the freedom to do whatever we feel like doing, because that kind of freedom leads to more anarchy, but our freedom to live in the laws of God, the Judaic moral values that were given to us by Moses. And so we'll be talking about that a little bit more as well. So Donna, tell them the best way for people to give.
Well, the best way, and hopefully you're listening this way, is on our website, drschuller.org, and that's drschuller.org. And at the top, there's a button that says, I'd like to give, and you click on that, that's the best way to give. And if you feel so called, if you could give on a regular basis, it doesn't matter what amount, but if you want to become a recurrent giver, and then you don't have to worry about it. You can just click in there and tell them how often you want to give and how much. I'll tell them. It's an app that we trust and we know we've been using for a while. And if you don't like to give that way, you can give on Venmo, which is Robert Schuller Ministries. And if that doesn't work for you, you can go to that website again, drschuller.org, drschuller.org. Scroll all the way to the bottom of the homepage. You'll see our mailing address, which is Robert Schuller Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And we thank the people that do listen on Sundays. And we know that you already give, a lot of you, and we appreciate it. And the ministry needs your support, and you need to continue to give, because you'll be blessed beyond imagination when you decide to just be a generous giving person. Those of you that are like that know that. I'm not telling you anything new, but yeah, God will surprise you with all kinds of different things, and relationships, and sometimes finances. It's hard to even express how giving will change your life when you start letting go and living a life of gratitude. So thank you.
You proved to God that you have more faith in Him than you do in your checking account, and that He is your God and not your checking account.
Yeah. So not your savings, and not the money under your mattress.
Not the credit cards. Yeah.
You know what's interesting? Because checking account, young people don't have checking accounts anymore. I mean, barely. They don't use it. We don't use it. How often do you write a check?
Oh, well, you still have to have a checking.
You do. Well, you still have to have savings, checking, something, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Yeah. Bye, all of you. I'm going to go take a nap now before our next service. Not really. I'm going to go take the dog for a walk.
Take the dog for a walk. Okay. Catch you later, love. So, so today I'm going to be talking about the very last chapter of the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch is the first five books in the Bible. You know, the Bible is a library of books, and this library has 66 books in it. The first five are called the Pentateuch, or which is Greek for five. Penta is five, and Teuch is law. So you're the first five books are the books of law, basically written by Moses and attributed to Moses. And this is the very last chapter of the Pentateuch. And it is the time where Moses goes to the top of Mount Moab, and there he passes. Now, there's a couple things to recognize and remember when we're looking at this amazing passage of Scripture. First of all, Moses is 120 years old. So he has spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he's a somebody in the court of Pharaoh, until he kills an Egyptian. And with that, when he thinks he's going to get caught, he runs away and goes and lives in the desert and gets married. And he spends the next 40 years of his life, from 40 to 80 years old, he spends the next 40 years of his life thinking he's nobody, because he's now left the court of Pharaoh. He's given up his princely opportunities. And he is completely left and is in the wilderness and in this depressed state. And he's there for 40 years when he finally finds himself in front of a burning bush that will not be consumed. And there God speaks to him and says, Moses, go and free my people. And so Moses listens to God, and he spends the next 40 years of his life seeing what God can do with a nobody. And he leads the people out of bondage, out of slavery, takes them into the wilderness, and for the next 40 years wanders through the wilderness, leading the people of Israel, the 12 tribes, the sons, 12 sons of Israel who were there in Egypt, and brings them now to this place of Moab. Now, at the age of 120, he has the strength to climb to the top of this mountain. An amazing, miraculous thing. He has the strength to climb to the top of this mountain. And from the top of this mountain, in which is in present-day Palestine, not Palestine, present-day Jordan, he was able to see the tremendous view. And this is a picture from the top of that mountain, and you can see the document that's there. And you can see the different arrows. And the ones I want to point out to you would be the long one, which goes up towards the direction sign, north, east, south, and west. That one says Bethlehem. And why do I point that out to you? Because Bethlehem is where Jesus is born. Bethlehem is where we find new freedom in Jesus Christ. Second one I want to point out is Jericho. Jericho is if you're going right to left, it is the second to the last one. It's a short one there. It's one of the shorter ones, Jericho, and that points to the valley. If you're looking at this picture, you can see the green above the shadow line, and that is the Jordan Valley, and that is where Jericho is. And so this is the view. Now, this isn't the whole view. This is just the view that I can fit on here. But the whole view would be a 360 degrees all the way around. But what God is pointing out to Moses is the promised land, where he's going. And that's why we have that. And the first place that takes place after this is they cross at Jordan. And I'll be talking about that next Sunday, because that is an amazing story where God tells Joshua, the Joshua who is one of, well, I'll talk about that more. I don't want to get distracted, but here Moses is looking at this amazing sight and seeing the promised land. He is seeing the land that is flowing with milk and honey. He sees the land that he should have gone into 20 years earlier, but didn't have the faith to do so. And so God is not allowing him to go into that land. And instead, this is where Moses spends his last days. But here's the things to realize. First of all, at the age of 120, Moses had the strength to climb up to the top of this mountain so that he could see this view. Second of all, he had the ability to see it. His eyes were not dim. They were still strong. And as he panned this sight, God showed to him all the different places that he would be giving to the 12 tribes of Israel. And we have in the coming chapters in the Bible, this region being given to this tribe, this region being given to another tribe, and this one to the other, until all 12 tribes of Israel, and all the names of the tribes are actually the names of the sons of Israel, and they all have their regions that have been given to them. And from this spot, Moab, Moses is able to see most of the land that God is giving to his people, because God fulfills his promises. And we talked a little bit earlier about how we as individuals, how our bodies are literally designed to live to be 120 years. And yet there's a lot of things that keep us from attaining this ability to live to 120 years. How do we know that the body is designed to be 120 years? First of all, we know it from biology. If we study other animals and you look at the years of the animals, they all live to the equivalent of 120 years. And you compare the life existence of other animals with the human species, the human body, based upon those statistics, should live to be 120 years. Second of all, the reason we know the body is supposed to live to be 120 years is through the replication of the cells. Your body is a cell-making machine. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from the time you are conceived, from the time those two cells come together, the egg and the sperm come together. What happens is it starts replicating, and it replicates and it replicates until it becomes a baby, and it is born, and there's a heartbeat. And from the very first sperm and cell to the day we die, our bodies, our living bodies, are cell-making machines. That's all we do, is we're constantly making cells, so that science has debates that somewhere between 3 and 7 years, every single cell in our body is replaced. If you stop and you think about that for a minute, you realize how important it is to give your body the nutrients and the proper thoughts and the surroundings to produce the healthiest cells possible. I don't have any pictures to show you, but maybe you've seen this. In fact, you can probably do a Google search and witness how noise impacts just crystals of water. And as a result of that, just different sounds have impact upon our cell reproduction system. So we want to surround ourselves with not only eating good, but we want to give our bodies the proper sounds and beauty. So the perfect situation for the human body would be to live in nature. And I talked a little bit about that last year. Eat food that the way that God intended us to eat. Exercise, weight-bearing exercises of our muscles. And I was with a gentleman or a lady, yes, last night actually, who was a bodybuilder for many years. And she is still strong and healthy. She was a natural bodybuilder. And she and I discovered that our ages are only 3 months apart. And we feel really young for our age. And the reason we feel so young for our age is because we've exercised and we've added muscle mass to our body when we were young. And today, those efforts that we put in when we were 30, 40, and 50 years old are still paying dividends today. And we'll continue to pay dividends because I still continue to lift weights on a regular basis. And I do everything. You know, I'll do legs one day, I'll do shoulders and chest the next day, I'll do back and arms the next day, and then I mix it up. And so I still do whatever I can to keep my body healthy. My uncle, my father's brother, lived to be 102, and he was healthy to the day he died. Don and I remember going to his house. He was 101 and a half at the time, and he literally came to the door. He had a walker, but he came to the door. He was living on his own. He welcomed us in. He served us cookies and coffee, and he had done all of this himself. And this is at the age of 101. In his eulogy, I gave his eulogy a few months later, and I said the reason he lived to be healthy to the day he died at 101 is because he only ate the food he grew. He was an organic farmer. He ate food as close to the way that God could make it. He exercised on a regular basis. He took a nap every afternoon. He drank well water. The water that he drank had minerals in it. And I continue to go on and on about how to live a healthy life. Now, if you want to know how to live a healthy life to be able to live to be 120, chances are it won't be 120 anymore because we've already, it's I don't want to get too much into this whole living to be 120, other than to say that if everything is perfect, we will have a straight line to 120. But we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a contaminated world. I remember as a young man breathing the air in Southern California, and my chest would hurt, my eyes would, and tears would come to my eyes. The smog was horrible. That took years off my life. As a child, that happened to me. Then we had food that was sprayed with glyphosate, and I ate all that. That took years off my life. I've had all kinds of chemicals injected into my body as a young boy with vaccines that have mercury in them. I know that for a fact. Takes years off my life. The list goes on and on. We do not live in a perfect world that allows us to live to be 120. But what we can do is we can diminish those impacts upon our life in such a way that we can continue to put our faith in Jesus, putting our faith in God's word for us, living the life to the best that we can, eating food as close to the way that God made it as he possibly can, getting the exercise, filling our minds with the faith and the hope that we have in the Bible, which takes us back to our passage of scripture today, because where the death of Moses is located is really important to us. It is, again, the very last chapter of the Pentateuch, the five books of law. And it is the five books of law that gives us our Judaic Christian ethics and values. And this is important to us because we are in a time in the world where there is a movement to take God out of everything, to destroy our cultures, and to take away our freedoms. And that is the freedom to worship God, number one, and to follow his ethics for us. So what do I mean by this? Let me go back and share a little bit of the history of what's going on with the world today. This is a picture how do I pronounce his name? Antonio Gramsci. He lived from 1891 to 1937. And what he did is he is, in effect, the founder of what we would know as the woke ideology that is infiltrating our society today. He was a philosopher from Italy, and this is what he said in his own words. He viewed the task thus: socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. In the new order, socialism will triumph by first capturing the culture via infiltration of schools, universities, churches, and the media by transforming the consciousness of society. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask this question. Does that sound like where we are as a society today? And I think the overwhelmingly people who are attuned with what's going on in the culture in America and around the world today, because it's not just America, it's literally the entire Western civilization. We are being overrun with this kind of wokeism that we need to be awake to. We need to open our eyes and see, like Moses, whose eyes were not dim, he could see what God had for him in the promised land. What I want you to know today is that there is a promised land that we will be going into. And that promised land is a land that is flowing with milk and honey for you and for me. That's going to bring us health and joy and goodness and prosperity. Because God wants humanity to prosper. That's what God wants for us. On the other hand, you have socialists, communists, and current leaders in culture and society which do not want us to prosper as humanity to prosper. They just don't. They want to reduce world populations. They want to implement certain practices and behaviors, And it starts by taking God and taking Christianity out of our culture and out of society. Now, one of the primary leaders in this whole, in this whole thing is this gentleman. His name is Paulo Freire. That's spelled Paulo Freire. He lived from 1921 to 1997. Today, he is known as the number one quoted human being in today's education, in Western education, and is basically the brainchild of what we know as what is being taught in our schools today. It's his objective reality is to get rid of Christianity, to get rid of thought process that is objective reality. And what do I mean by this? Let me share with you his quote here. He says, "There's no such thing as neutral education. Education is either functions as an instrument to bring about conformity or freedom." And this is just one of his many quotes. Again, he is the most quoted man in current education. He is the one who brings about the whole idea of, let me see if I can check out my notes here, moral relativism. Moral relativism is the concept that your truth and my truth is more important than the truth. Did you get that? My truth. My truth is that today I feel like I'm a dog. And tomorrow I may feel like I'm something else, but that's my truth. So you have to respect my truth. It's your truth and my truth is more important than the truth. And the fact is there is one truth. And the truth that I'm talking about is contained within these 66 books known as the Bible. And this Bible shares with us a morality, because it is the morality that we are lacking in our society today. Because we know we have a natural born instinct to understand what that having a drag show in front of elementary aged kids and having somebody shake their booty in front of them is wrong. It's evil. We know that because there are laws on the books which says you can't even take a child through on the floors of a casino. It's not because the child's going to be hurt, because we know that is wrong. It's morally wrong. We don't want the child being exposed to that. And we have other laws on the books that prevent and maintain morality in such a way that it is beautiful for us. But what's taking place in our society is a continued degradation of the family. And it is our children that we need to protect. We need to protect our children from the lies of Satan. And the lies are that there is a gender that they can choose from. There is no such thing as gender. There's only male and female. It's called sex. You know, they used to call it transsexual. Now they call it transgender, because there's 8 different genders on the spectrum that is required law teaching in the state of California. The good news is that I've discovered is that the state of California, in spite of them having these rules and these laws, the local school boards can override the state laws and can choose what they will and will not teach. As a result of that, the state is now suing these different school boards to force them to do this, and they're holding back the funds that belong to those schools to implement their education and their sex education and their all the different baloney that they're teaching. The baloney meaning untruths, that religion isn't important, that the family isn't important, et cetera, et cetera. Coming back to our scripture, coming back to our passage, Moses was strong to the day he died. He had the ability to walk up the mountain. His eyes were not dim. He was able to see the entire future of his children and his children's children. In addition to that, he died there, and God himself buried Moses. God was Moses's undertaker. No one to this day, no one found his body. Nobody to this day knows where his grave is or his bones were. God wants to care for you, not only in your living, but in your death. And the way God cares for you in death is to give you the cloak of righteousness and forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the debts for you, for our sins. And as a result of that, we come face to face with Jesus, the part of the Trinity of God, and we have the freedom to live within the moral restraints of God's law and come face to face with Jesus, purified and forgiven for our failures. And so God is here. The very beginning to give you life, because all life is a gift from God. And today that we have this gift and we have no idea how long it will be. Moses, when he went up to that mountain, didn't know that would be his last. And then we are taken care of in our life and our death. God has given us the amazing directions. Eat the food that God has given to you as close as you possibly can and prosper in the ways that God has for you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who cares. You're a God who loves. You're a God who cares for us through life and in death. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so as we come to you, we pray that you will bring healing to the bodies which are going through the process of death. We pray that you will bring healing to the bodies who are in the process of regenerating cells. We pray that you will bring life and hope to minds which have been degraded and diminished and don't understand that we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, O God, heal our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our souls, and lead us as we go through this wilderness of life until we come to be with you forever in paradise. You are our God. We are your people. We love you, Lord. And we praise your name always and forever. Amen. So please consider supporting this ministry. Go to our website, drschuler.org, and you can click on the I'd like to give button, or you can write it to us at 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And with that, let me give you a benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Live and live in the joy and the freedom of Christ.